Live from the studios of KVTA, Ventura County's inspiration station, this is The Kim Pagano Show. Kim is Ventura County's mom and so much more, bringing value every day in every way. Join Kim and her friends every Saturday as they interview interesting and inspirational guests, everyone from authors and entertainers to doctors and experts. From A to Z, Kim's got you covered. And now here's Ventura County's mom and so much more. It's Kim Pagano.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to the Kim Pagano Show, the brighter side of life. And of course, I'm not as bright as I usually am because this last couple days I lost my dad. He was my cheerleader. And 7 years ago, I did the same thing, came on the day after with my mom when I lost her, another cheerleader in my life. And I just want to say thank you for everybody that has reached out to me, because without all of you and without my family, my husband and my children and my grandchildren just cheering me on, these are tough times. And, you know, I was just saying to Tom that no matter how long you have your family or your parents or anybody in your life, that it's, you know, you're grateful for all those memories, but it's still really hard. So anyways, I just wanted to share that here because my show is all about really being who you are and being authentic to my listeners, because you've been with me for so long. So with that, I want to say that I thank you so much for tuning in every day, every Saturday from 7 to 8, starting your day in a positive way. And of course, I always like to start my show with something uplifting. And is it, if you act as if what you do makes a difference, it really does. And what I do here makes a huge difference. So with saying that, I have a couple things that I want to share with you. One, ironically as it is, on October 24th, Tuesday, there is the Heart Association, it's a community conversation, is going to be putting on Heart Strong, Understanding and Preventing Heart Failure. I am actually the moderator for it, and it is happening from 12 to 1. This is offered by American Heart Association and Dignity, St. John's Regional Medical Center and St. John's Hospital, Camarillo. And we're going to be talking about all the things. We have incredible panelists that are going to be joining us. So in my newsletter, which brings me to the next thing, if you don't have my newsletter, you don't get it every Friday, please reach out to me. You can text me right now and say me on there, or heart, and I will make sure I get that out to you. But the number is 805-419-0008. That's 805-419-0008. Also, if you have something to say that would make a difference in this world, I want to hear from you. So again, I would love to know you and have you on. And another thing that I have coming up, November 15th, I am doing my first online show with amazing guests, and it's all about breaking through to your next, whatever your next is. It could be your next day, your next idea, your next chapter in your life, whatever that is. I want you to have some incredible ideas from all of these guests that I have coming on my show / summit, and they will give you their gifts that they have gone through to get to their next. So those are my two things that I want to share with you. I have an incredible show for you today. My first guest is Chuck Wisner. His latest book is The Art of Conscious Conversations. He is the president of Wisner Consulting. His client lists are like crazy: Google, Rivian, Apple, Tesla, Harvard Business School. And we're going to talk a little bit about really mastering the art of conversation. That's like such a huge thing right now, because that is the way we communicate in our world, in our work, in all of the things we do. And we're going to talk to him. So Are you there, Chuck? Welcome.
I am here. Thanks for having me on, and sorry to hear about your dad.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So let me ask you a question. How did you get started? Were you always a conversationist?
Well, I've always had philosophical, spiritual, psychological interest growing up, but I was an architect in Boston and learned more than I wanted to ever know about conflict and bad behavior. and I had a partner who had an alcohol problem, and we hired some help. And the woman that came in to help us really led us into these conversations that got us through the mess. And I was like blown away. Like, I mean, how did she do that? What, you know? And it put me on a journey, and I ended up, you know, studying and retooling myself for 4 years, and loved architecture, but I left it and I started a whole new world of leadership consulting and advising through conversation.
I love that. So give us, like, I mean, how many different types of communication? I mean, obviously there's like, I mean, you talk about mindful agreement, okay?
Right.
Like that, are you married?
Yes.
How does that help you in your marriage? I mean, that's a big deal. You know, sometimes I ask my husband something and he goes, you know, I'm like, where are you? Wait, how come you didn't answer? Like, you know, why is this so difficult? You know, and he's a man of very little words, you know, and I'm like, he's like, you always dissect everything, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I got a lot of feelings in here, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Yeah. Yeah. No, I am married. We just celebrated our 41st anniversary.
Oh, my gosh. So, congratulations. That's like brilliant nowadays.
You.
So congratulations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they say that one of the key things is communication, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, in all my work, whether I'm working with leaders who need to change an organization or teams, or, you know, every change effort we do, it goes, okay, what conversations do we need to have? And usually there's tough conversations that people aren't very skilled at having, or they avoid them. So in the book, I break down conversations just for the sake of learning about conversations in a new way, because we grow up talking and we grow up conversing, but we're never taught, like, well, how do conversations work and why don't they work so many times? And so I break it down into four conversations. One is storytelling. And that basically is, you know, the byline of storytelling is we all have stories. They're beautiful, but some serve us and some don't. And the idea around storytelling is to have your story, but don't believe it's the truth. And don't hold it as the truth. The second conversation is the collaborative conversation. Our engagement in meetings, our engagement with our partner, our husband, our wife, our kids. And that one is all about the dance of telling our story, listening to other people's stories, and dissecting why it is that it's so hard to listen well. And the third conversation is a creative conversation. And that really is about learning to trust our right brain, our intuition, and give ourselves permission to dream and wonder and think of ideas and think of possibilities that we didn't think of before with others. And then the last conversation is really the commitment conversation. And that's powerful because that's how we take action. Every day we make promises. Who's going to do the dishes? Who's going to take out the trash? Who's going to start this meeting? Who's going to solve this problem? And we actually, that's a very complicated conversation, but we're never taught about it. And we tend to do it in a fast, sloppy way. So that's a hit on four types of conversations, just to give you an idea of how the book's organized.
That's brilliant. I love that too. So let me ask you, let's talk about storytelling. Some people are really good at storytelling, but they're not good at commitment or collaborative or right. How does those all like weave into each other?
Yeah, they do. I take them apart in the book. You know, the idea of the art of conscious conversation is to really understand conversations in a new way. I take them apart so we can have a fresh look at them. And, you know, when we have a story that we believe in and our ego is attached to it, we tell that story like, I have the answer, or I'm the smartest one in the room, or this is the right way to do something. And in fact, when we hold our stories like that, I like the metaphor of I'm holding my story with a closed fist, you know. And when we hold our stories like that, we are not inviting people into a collaborative conversation, and we're not even inviting them to say, let's decide what we're going to do collaboratively or together and creatively, because we're sort of pushing our idea and pushing our story on others. And that's the fundamental reason that we often don't listen, because our ego or our identity is attached to our story. And we have stories about ourselves, and we have stories about other people. Like I said, there are beautiful stories that serve us well. I grew up with a story from my grandfather that I wasn't a big enough man. Mm. And I believed that a long, long time into adulthood, until I was able to bust that story and say, wait a minute, that's not true, that mm-hmm. I adopted it because I was an innocent child. And that busting that story had an amazing impact on my life.
How did you? How did you do that? Can you share that?
Yeah, well, what we do with our stories are made up of facts, mm-hmm. which is a controversial subject these days. It shouldn't be. What's factual is factual. And our opinions. And our opinions are where things get really messy, because we have standards, there's power issues, we have desires, things we want in life. So really what I did with the not enough, big enough man story was to break it down and go, wait a minute. So at that point, I might have been 30 years old, so I'm still busting that damn story. And mm-hmm. I said, well, what are the facts? Well, I'm 6 feet tall, I'm married to a beautiful woman, I have two young kids, I'm an architect, I'm successful. Somehow the facts of the matter don't line up with this story. And then I had to look at, well, where did I adopt this? And I realized that I adopted it as my grandfather's story. And it was his standard of what a big enough man was. His standard of where you had to, I didn't like skinning the deer, or I didn't like doing something, or I cried. And his standard was, well, that's not a man. So then I had to just tease that apart and said, well, you know what? That's not my standard of what a man is.
And it's not your story. And it's really not your story. That was your grandfather's story, which is amazing. And, you know, as I do a lot of business coaching and really it's, you know, I started to do business coaching because I love business. But then I realized that the way people live their life is the way they run their business. And so they're so attached. You know, you wake up and you're maybe not having a great day. How do you run your business? So you have to detach. Right. The show must go on. And so I've been learning that, you know, our life and our business are so weaved in. And so how do you get yourself to feel better and be able to, you know, attack business? Correct?
Yeah, yeah, and absolutely the separation of, you know, our world or our life outside of work and then work is a total figment of our imagination. I mean, the two are interconnected. Our emotions 100%. And our physical body.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm leaving home and I'm stressed because of a fight with my wife, or I'm leaving home because I have so many things going on that I haven't taken care of, I carry that with me, and I can pretend to sort of not. I can pretend to sort of stuff it, but our bodies don't lie. And mm-hmm. you know, our faces, our expressions, our mood, all of those things are interconnected. So it's really important to do both, to take in consideration both worlds and say they're totally, you know, you can't separate them. They're
right.
Two sides of the same coin.
You can't hide it. I always say what you see is what you get. Okay. So I walk through it as being authentic in the sense, and people appreciate it because they can, you know, you have your good days and you have your bad days. So let me ask you, Chuck, this is so interesting. Can you give us some practical steps for my listeners to initiate this transformation process that you talk about in your book?
Yeah, one way that I think is the easiest way to start is to know that we have to start at home. We have to start with ourselves if we want to change our conversations with other people, because we can't change them. And one thing is to do is to realize that we all have patterns of how we are in conversation. Like, if I hadn't busted my story about a big enough man, I would often have a pattern of going into a conversation with other men where I felt insecure, or I felt smaller, or I felt less than. So we have patterns that we live in and live by in conversation. And so to say, okay, what is a pattern that I have where I shy away from conflict, or I get emotional too quickly? What is a pattern I have that I can look at? And I like calling them patterns because it's less judgmental. Most of our patterns we didn't choose. They're a reaction to our upbringing and our culture and our whole family situation and our experiences. So what is a pattern? And then to say, okay, how's that pattern not serving me? What are the baby steps I can take to start changing that pattern? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it really does. You know, it's interesting, and I'm going to be really vulnerable right now. You know, I've had some, and I'm not downing anybody else, but I'm sure we all have had tragedies in our life. And when they come up, and of course, you know, again, I'm talking about business, trying to carry on. And I always go, oh, well, I guess I can't do this seminar. I can't be the speaker because, you know, and it's like an opportunity to say, I'm not, you know, maybe I didn't have everything organized. Maybe I wasn't, you know, didn't have it on spot. This happened with my dad. I've got all these things going on. And I was like, no, you're not going to do it this time. You know, like talking to yourself, right? No, you're going to you're going to walk through it. And how's it going to feel when you've done this? Are you going to feel like, oh my God, this was amazing. I helped so many people, you know? So you have to look at that end feeling.
Yeah, when it was lovely today, when you just let your audience know that this is what's going on for me. That vulnerability, you know, actually invites everyone to be a little more vulnerable, and it invites them to be empathetic with your situation. So I think the more we can be honest and take our closed fist and open it, and, you know, be mindful of with our thinking and our words and our heart as well, the more we invite these kind of conversations where we can be compassionate with each other, a little less judgmental, and ultimately we'd end up being more creative with other people also.
And you know what? It's life. Like, I haven't even gotten into the Israel thing right now, because that is something that is just beyond. I mean, I thought we've come so far and we haven't, you know, and my hearts go out to so many families. You know, a lot of people shy away from conversations like that. And really, that's how I got the name of my show, The Brighter Side of Life, because life happens. It's how we work through it.
Yeah. And life happens, and often a lot of suffering that we humans take on is because we can't honestly accept reality. You know, we don't want to accept something, so we fight reality, and then we're in a turmoil. Who's going to win a battle with reality? I mean, you know, we can want something to be a certain way, or we cannot like what's happening. We cannot like it, but if we accept it, we can then deal and move on. But not accepting means we're in this life sucks.
Major denial.
And we go downhill very fast. Yeah.
Yeah. I love it. God, Chuck, this was so amazing talking to you, and I can't wait to read your book. How do my listeners find you? And I would love to talk more, because this is just so interesting to me.
Yeah, no, it'd be great to reconnect sometime. My book, The Art of Conscious Conversations, there's a free introduction PDF on my website, which is chuckwisner.com. And then they can find me on Instagram. It's chuck_wisner. I think it's the same for LinkedIn and similar for Facebook.
Perfect.
And
please,
I give speeches and I work with teams. And I work with individuals as well. So
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Chuck, for your work. And thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And also, please connect with me through social and download our podcast. And we look forward to having you back again.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
You got it. All right, we are going to take a really quick break. And, of course, you are listening to The Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. Our phone number here is 805-419-0008. Feel free to connect with us. You can text at that number. And I want to hear from all of you out there. So it just is so comforting. And please stay with us. We'll be right back.
Like a small boat on the ocean, sending big waves into motion.
TNT Anger Management Services knows that sometimes we get overwhelmed at work and home with our deadline. Try these three tips to help you regain order and focus. Number one, staying focused on the priority should be your main objective. Number two, we all know the word multitasking is highly overrated, so try to keep it simple. Number three, set boundaries for yourself, eliminating side talk and chatter, which can be really disrupting when you have a deadline. These are just some ways to collect oneself, complete your lead task. For more information, visit tntams.com. Or if you're experiencing a lack of focus and anger, please feel free to call Norman Thatcher, the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management, directly, 818-264-6255. That's 818-264-6255, or go to tntams.com.
If you're a business owner or looking to be one, put Littlefoot Construction on the top of your list. Littlefoot Construction specializes in restaurant remodels, tenant improvements, office remodels. Call Littlefoot Construction with all your commercial and industrial needs. Littlefoot Construction works with big or small businesses. Or even if it's a dream, Littlefoot Construction will make your vision come true. Call Littlefoot Construction at 805-491-2759. That's 805-491-2759 for all your construction needs.
The Kim Pagano Show is proud to partner with the eWomen Network as they continue to help millions of women entrepreneurs achieve their goal of $1 million in annual revenue. The eWomen Network accelerated events take place the first Wednesday of each month at the beautiful Los Robles Greens in Thousand Oaks. The event will include lunch with wonderful speakers talking about relevant topics for your business and many opportunities to network with potential clients and make connections. Come join the fun and elevate your business. The eWomen Network only requires one lifetime membership fee and a monthly fee to stay active on their website. Come find out how the eWomen Network is different than the other networking groups. Apply now on their website at eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665. That's eWomenNetwork.com/chapters/Calabasas-665.
Manhattan of Camarillo, located in the heart of the beautiful Santa Rosa Valley, is a locally owned, multi-regional classic Italian restaurant with an extensive wine list. You'll be greeted with warm, friendly, attentive service. Wednesday evenings from 3 to 8 p.m., Manhattan of Camarillo offers a signature three-course menu for $25. For a bit more casual atmosphere, check out Trivia Thursdays in their beer garden with a full bar and craft beer selections. If you're into live music, come see some of Ventura County's premier local talent where you can dance the night away on a large dance floor. Manhattan of Camarillo's private wine and banquet room holds up to 40 people. Make your reservations today or book your next private party. Dinner is served Tuesday through Saturday with easy access off the 101 at Pleasant Valley Road.
Call today for a reservation at 805-388-5550.
That's 805-388-5550. Or go to themanhattanofcamarillo.com.
Now back to the Kim Pagano Show.
Finally on KVTA.
Welcome back, everyone. And again, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. My next guest is Elizabeth. Is it Uslander? I hope so. And she was one of the
co-founders. Uslander, but very close.
Oh, Uslander. Okay, very good. And you're a co-founder with your husband, which we've had on there, Dr. Bob, Empowered Endings. And of course, this is the support optimal outcomes in the final chapters of life. And this is the medicine for the body and soul. And you guys have been doing this 30 years. So thank you so much for being here. And I always say you know, kind of like I just lost my father a couple this last weekend, and incredibly hard. And so, you know, everybody's going to go through this at one point of their life. And so I thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having us. I'm so sorry for the loss of your father.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Tell us a little bit about yourself and, of course, your company and how you got started.
Sure. So Bob's been a doctor for 30 years, and I've been working in social services, social work, and spiritual care for decades as well. But we actually came together to do the work that we've been doing about 6 years ago. He moved from emergency medicine into palliative and end-of-life care, and I moved from spiritual care strictly into medical, social work, and clinical care and end-of-life. And we met through our shared passion for supporting dignity and agency, ensuring that people had the right resources and information and understanding of what their options are and how to really make their end-of-life journey as peaceful and powerful as the lives that they've lived. So that's how we started working together in private practice. And over the course of time, we've come to specialize in quality of life enhancing care that isn't necessarily available through the traditional model, as well as end-of-life options, which aren't necessarily easily accessible for a lot of different reasons in the traditional model of care. And we've learned through our experience supporting so many patients and families how powerfully peaceful and transformative these journeys can be when people feel safe and supported and have all the right resources to meet their own goals and wishes in their palliative and end-of-life care journeys and the family's grief journey afterwards.
So, Elizabeth, let me ask you a question. What is empowered endings? What does that mean exactly?
So empowered endings is currently a collective. We have a medical group that provides palliative and end-of-life care options and planning, as well as counseling and support for families and spiritual care and bereavement care. And we also have an institute to share the wisdom of our experience. We've learned a lot doing the things that we've been doing for as long as we've been doing them. And we've noticed that there's a paucity of understanding really about end-of-life care and what's possible and anything that's accessible outside of the traditional model of hospice care and hospitalization. So we started an institute to help people connect with and understand resources and information as well as build community around their own empowered journey. That's for healthcare professionals as well as community members looking to plan and understand what they need to plan for their end-of-life journeys. And we have a foundation. So we have a foundation as well to ensure that the burden of finances is never an obstacle for people getting the care that they need and accessing the resources and options that they would like to have available to them so that everyone can have the dignity that they deserve in their end-of-life journey.
And so, what is the difference between your company and your foundation? I guess it's more of a foundation, right? Than hospice.
So hospice is an insurance benefit. It's Medicare regulated. It's been around for decades, and it provides really important support in the end-of-life journey. So when someone is no longer able to or no longer wishes to receive curative treatment, they can move over to hospice care. There's a fantastic benefit. You have nurses that come into your home and check on you to make sure that you're comfortable and have everything you need, social workers and spiritual counselors and home health aides and a whole team of people who provide this wraparound support. It's also a little bit hit or miss. It's not changed at all since it was instituted decades ago in terms of its structure of care. And it's become really tightly regulated. The insurance model is something that I won't necessarily get into, but has its own constraints and limitations that make it challenging for people to get some of the support that they would like to have that isn't necessarily offered through hospice billing practices. Mm-hmm. So what we've done is supplement the gap in hospice care by, for example, having a personalized physician available 24/7 to patients and families for all of their questions and concerns, by having continuity of care in terms of the personalized, trauma-informed, consistently available team members who are walking with not only the patients, but also the families through the whole journey and beyond. And there are a few other things like end-of-life options that are not available nationwide or that are not available at certain healthcare institutions that we specialize in ensuring people have resources and information about if that's something that they wish to engage.
Right. And when should somebody, I feel like that's why I'm having the hardest time of, you know, dealing with my dad's loss is because of they introduced hospice to him or to our family. But I must not have totally understood it because I thought that I would be able to have time with him until he passed. And within, you know, an hour, it was done. And I was like, wait, what just happened? So I feel like I did my dad my last minute done. And I know that I'm being very vulnerable on the phone here on, you know, on the radio, but I always think all the right people show up in your life, right? So the reason that you're on, I don't ever want anybody else to have to go through that.
Yeah. Well, one, it sounds like, and not knowing a great deal about your experience, but really appreciating the vulnerability that you're sharing, it sounds like they introduced the hospice support sort of at the last minute. And one of the challenges in our society is that it's hard to know when to engage comfort care. It's hard to know when it's time to consider staying home instead of going to the hospital. And these are conversations that each person really needs to discern for themselves, but they're really challenging to have. Our society doesn't create a lot of open space for talking about our wishes for end-of-life care, and doctors aren't really given a lot of opportunity to do that with their patients. So it can be really hard for people to have all of the information that they need to know what choices they would need to make to ensure that their goals and wishes are honored. So yeah. I imagine.
So with your company, I mean, you actually work with people so they understand and how to and plan for this so that there is no conversation at the end when people can't make decisions, correct?
Right. So a lot of people come to us 10, 20, even 30 years before they have any anticipation of their end-of-life journey being present to them to really understand from the perspective of physicians and counselors who work in this space what they would need to put in place in order to ensure that their goals and wishes, in order to ensure that their end-of-life journey is the way that they would want it to be when the time comes. So end-of-life planning is definitely one of the things that we support people with. And what that looks like in the medical system is there's a 15-minute meeting that one could have with one's physician to talk about your goals and wishes. In our experience, 15 minutes is not nearly adequate to have those conversations and really get a robust understanding, as well as to bring the family along in understanding what their role is and what they'll need to do and what support they might need as well. So we meet with people for, you know, 60 to 90 minutes to explore who they are, what their life looks like, what their resources are, what their goals are, what their family members' considerations and concerns might be, and help them to explore what they can do to put in place the stepping stones they would need to have in place in order to ensure that they don't end up in a crisis at the last minute. And in order to ensure that everyone is on the same page, supporting the same path, so that no one comes, you know, no one is caught by surprise, and no one ends up in the position of not having had the opportunity to show up the way they wanted to, or to communicate what they wanted to, or support their loved ones the way they wanted to.
Right. Let me ask you, you talk about the end-of-life doula and grief counseling. Is that kind of what you're talking about right now?
That's definitely a part of it. So doulas are, I think, an increasingly powerful movement in our society. I think a lot about the birth movement in relationship to this conversation in end-of-life care, where birthing used to be between an OBGYN, a mother, and a hospital, and birthing doulas and midwives and the holistic birthing centers have now become a very common part of the birthing experience and birth care. What we're talking about is supporting similar social shifts in understanding and opportunity for people in end-of-life care. Instead of the default, which is either in and out of the hospital until the end of life comes, or sort of closer to last minute hospice care, where people have the experience kind of like the one that you had, helping people to get support earlier on, and that having it be as holistic as they'd like it to be, having it be guided with loving companions who have experience in these spaces and can help bring comfort and understanding to these really delicate and dynamic transitions.
All right. Elizabeth, is there a difference between hospice hospital as opposed to hospice, you know, moving into a rehab or a rehabilitation place?
Yeah. So there are a couple different layers of support, and different ways that they interact. Hospice is very typically in home, which is great because people can stay in home and have care come to them. And it's hugely valuable, especially in these really, again, delicate, dynamic, and intimate transitions. You can have hospice support in hospital, it's called GIP. And there are some places that have hospice homes, which are dedicated specifically to hospice care. And those are more and more rare because they're pretty hard to sustain in terms of balancing the resources that are needed and the billing that's available through the insurance benefit.
Right. Okay. Well, I have to tell you from my experience, I think that that people need to know more about you and your foundation, because this is such an emotional time that you really want to plan this ahead of time, even though, you know, because things happen so fast, it's just one more decision that is brought upon you, and it's hard to make those decisions. So, again, how do my listeners find out about you, and how do they go to your website and you know, really get a chance to talk to both of you? And I thank you for all your experience and, you know, your knowledge to really share this, the ending, but to really, you know, help families through this.
Well, thank you. So the easiest way to find out about us is to go to our website, which is empoweredendings.com. There's a whole lot of information there about who we are, what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're doing it, our team, our hopes, goals, and dreams for the foundation and the institute, building community with people who are interested in this information and interested in sharing it. So that's a great place to start. And on that, there are a number of different options for engagement and support, and we're continuing to build, for example, the certification and training programs through our institute that would allow people to really engage even more robustly. We've got an ebook on the website, and we're working on publishing a book called Permission to Choose, and starting a podcast. So there are a lot of different ways that people can engage with exploring what's of interest to them and figuring out kind of how this fits in with their life and what they may wish to do about it, whether it's for their own journey or just starting conversations in their community.
Yeah, you know, you live such a beautiful life, and at the end, you want it to be beautiful and worthwhile. So I really, really think this is so valuable. So, Elizabeth, thank you so much for joining us here on the Kim Pagano Show, The Brighter Side of Life. And again, for our listeners, Elizabeth will be in our newsletter. And if you're not getting our newsletters, text me right now, 805-419-0008, and you will have all of my guest information and anything that I'm being involved in so that you will know. So again, Elizabeth, thank you so much, and definitely connect with us and download our podcast.
Thank you, Kim. It's been lovely talking with you. Thanks so much for the opportunity.
You got it. Take care. All right. We are going to bring our next guest on. And of course, he's been on several times. He's one of our sponsors here, and it's TNT Anger Management Services, located in Westlake, but he is community. He is national, so he can talk anywhere. And of course, we're talking about Norman Thatcher. He's the facilitator and owner of TNT Anger Management. Norman, welcome, and thank you so much for being there here.
Of course, Kim. Good morning. Always love talking to you and your show.
Thank you so much. Talk to us about, gosh, anxiety right now, right? I mean, just the, I briefly brought it up in, in our show in the beginning of what's going on in Israel right now is just, it's stressful. It's just the unknown. It's something that we really haven't dreamed about in a long time or even thought about.
Well, that's why I'm glad that you invited me on your show today, because the three topics that I wanted to talk about was anxiety, anger, and fear. And before I get started in those topics, just a couple of things to kind of add a kicker to the show. Today is Friday the 13th. Some people might just have a fear about that. Mm-hmm. And then also today is, I guess, quoted the day of anger. So I don't want to get into the political view, but just looking on the internet for the average, citizen that looks on and sees that, it's like, what does this mean? So so I'd like to go over these topics and hopefully help some people out.
There you go. Well, so talk to us about, first of all, Friday the 13th, my mom always said it was a good luck day. And it happens to be my son's birthday. So happy birthday to my son. And of course, just looking forward into every day, of course, my attitude is always the brighter side of life. But what are some of the things in the community that you are, that you're getting calls about? Obviously, it's dreadful. It's dreadful to watch what's happening over in Israel. And my heart goes out to all of the families and, that are either trying to get out of there to try and, and that have already lost their lives.
Well, I want to agree with you on that. My heart goes out to all the families in Israel and all over the world that's being affected by this, tragedy and situation. And what it leaves a lot of people with that are with us living the everyday life is stress, fear, anxiety, and anger. So, first of all, I kind of want to go over some of the definitions of what people might think of these things and why they call me to answer your question. For anxiety, usually people are feeling restless, tense, they have troubles concentrating, which is a little bit different than anger itself. Anger usually has a typical, I'm pissed off or frustrated or anger at this situation. It didn't go well. And usually it's a loss of control. And a lot of, most of us have these everyday annoyances. It might not be quite an anger outburst, but there are 12 different types of anger. So there's a lot to select from. I'll just give a few. There's destruction behaviors, there's violence behavior, there's voice volume behavior of all these anger types. So without, you know, time permitting, there are a lot more, but a lot of people will experience that and call me. And then the last one, obviously, right now is fear, which is a definition of basically a strong emotion of an unknown feeling or an unpleasant feeling that gives reason for people to be alarmed.
Right. I mean, you know, it just, we have had so many things happening in our community, and to just, you know, the the fire in Maui, the fires out here, the earthquakes, now the Israel. How do you suggest for people to keep going?
Well, the first thing I would do is to keep going. Don't give any person, country, world news, anybody empowerment to take your empowerment away of how to handle these things. Now, of course, it saddens a lot of people, you know, but just like with everything else, people have, you know, the right to stand up and fight for their beliefs also. So whichever, you know, whatever side that you're on, you know, that's your right to fight and, you know, stand up for your own individual beliefs. One thing I did read also on the internet at Harvard College, they had tension and yelling and threats on both sides of the political, you know, views of what's happening in the world. So it's, you know, it's just, it's a worldwide, you know, obviously news, and people, I think, need intervention at their discretion. Some people don't think they can handle things, so that's why they call us. Some people are just living their day to day and maybe taking and literally break it down to an hour at a time and getting through their day.
Yeah, it's so hard. And it is, that's the best advice, just to, if you're feeling nervous, you're feeling unstable, don't get on the road. I just passed coming to, you know, my studio, just passed two accidents, one on one side and then one on the other side, you know? So people are just, we need to just take life a little bit easier.
Well, I think when unexpected tragedies like this happen, I think it's, you know, the first thing is the shock value. It's not like, you know, people were expecting this, other than the people that did these things. But when things like this happen, it's just a shock, and it takes time and a process to get through the shock of the event, where these are a little bit different than, say, you know, my everyday living. I'm upset at this. You can, you know, kind of plan for some of these things, but, you know, people have the self-will inside of them to just, you know, keep being strong and, you know, be strong for their families, be strong for their community, and keep going as individuals. And that's really all we can do. So that's where a lot of the interventions of educators and doctors and therapists would be available to anybody who feels they can't handle these things on their own, and that's where I step in to give a free consultation.
Okay, great. And can you tell people again what your website is, so that our listeners can find you?
Sure, it's www.tntams.com.
Yeah. Okay, great. And again, I know that you deal with a lot of, you know, seniors, a lot of young adolescents, and really anybody, right, to just help them with relationships. You know, I mean, this just seems like another stressful time in our life, and I want to make sure that anybody that's listening is, you know, that needs this reassurance, that they can, you know, they can find you.
Well, again, you have my website, and my phone number is 818-264-6255. And basically, again, consultation is free to just get some information to see if this is something that will be helpful for the family or the individual. But in general, you know, looking at a lot of these interventions that we talked about for anxiety, fear, and anger, the number one thing really, it sounds like common sense, is to remember just to kind of stop and breathe. And when people say breathe, they say, well, we automatically breathe as our, you know, automatically. But there's also interventions you can do for your breathing, like just take a breath, hold it for like 5 seconds, you know, think about what your decisions are right now, what's going on, blow it out, and just redirect your thoughts to something that might be more relaxing. Or take a break, like you said, with the traffic. If you need to pull over before you hurt yourself or hurt somebody else, pull over and take 2 to 3 minutes just to kind of get yourself back on track and get to your destination in a safe manner. That's the really big thing. And then the other two interventions that are kind of in common with all three of the topics are, talking to people, talking to your family, talking to a friend, talking to counselors. It's kind of human nature to, bottle things up, and I can be tough and do all this stuff on your own, but you're only hurting yourself. And that's why I'm always encouraging to find people to talk to make, they can also give suggestions to help you also. And that's the kind of the old philosophy, is that, hey, two minds are better than one. If you get more people involved, 3, 4, 5, 6 minds are better than one. And it gets that physical pressure off your chest. And probably 90% of my clients that I see are saying, I feel better after I've seen you. I just needed to get this off my chest and talk about this and do this exercise, and I feel so much better. For me, that's a good feeling, obviously, for me, but the work is for the individuals and the clients that seek interventions and treatment.
Yeah, I love that. And also, talk to us briefly about people at work. You know, sometimes that's really, you know, maybe one person is going through something, and, you know, share it, right? Share that you're having a hard time.
Well, in our workplace, people talk about, like, what's the topic of the day in the world, or what's the topic of the day in, you know, your life. With the internet access, obviously the main stories are going to be focused on, right now with the stress and anxiety of what's going on in Israel. And I even have coworkers that I kind of have to relay back to them to, you know, let's take a break from that for a couple minutes, because you can get so emotionally attached, and it affects your daily living. And that's where you want to give the strength to get back to your normal routine, as normal as it can be with what's happened.
I love it. Norman Thatcher, facilitator and owner of TMT Anger Management. I want to give out your phone number, 818-264-6255. Is that where they reach you?
That's it.
Okay. And, of course, TMTAMS.com. And thank you so much for being here and being a part of our show and support. And, you know, if you are feeling anxious, which I think there's not anybody out there that isn't, take a moment, call Norm. He's a great guy and can just help you walk through some of your time in your life that you might just need a little tune-up, as I call it, right?
Yeah, everybody needs some support.
There you go. All right. Well, Norm, thank you so much. And, of course, we are at the end of our show. I thank you all. You mean the world to me. And thank you to keep tuning in here. Again, our phone number, 419-0008. I'd love to hear from you, even if it's just a positive thought. Keep strong. And, of course, I end all of my shows with a moment of happiness. Life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. And with that, you've been listening
to the Kim Pagano Show. Check out our website. And also, I hope that you are, if you're interested in being a part of breaking through to your next, text me at the Kim Pagano Show. And of course, that is 805-419-0008. I look forward to talking with you again next week. Thank you.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow.